In our last study, I shared why I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that it contains good news that Jesus wanted everyone to hear, Mark 16, verse 15. And the fact that it is God's power to save to salvation for everyone who believes it, Romans 1 and verse 16. I also pointed out the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ contains facts to be believed. The message of God's love and His grace, commands to be obeyed, not difficult works to earn salvation, but simple acts of faith, whereas we receive God's grace and His mercy. And then we talked about promises to be received, helping us deal with the problem of sin in our lives. Included in the commands of the gospel is one command regarding baptism. An immersion in water by a penitent believer of the gospel, which a lot of people in the religious world say is not necessary. And yet I believe that baptism is a vital part of the gospel of Christ. And it really is the culmination of faith in response to the gospel. Why do I believe in baptism? That's the topic of our discussion today. Why do I believe in baptism? Well, it's because baptism is commanded by Jesus Christ and His apostles. First, by Christ in the Great Commission, as part of the process of producing disciples. Jesus talked in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, that the apostles were commanded to make disciples. And disciples were made by baptizing them and continuing to be taught. It's an integral part of responding to the gospel of Christ, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus wanted His gospel preached to every person in the world. Those who believe and are baptized, He says there, will be saved. Those who do not believe in the gospel will be condemned. So can we fulfill the Great Commission and not tell people about the need to be baptized? Secondly, it's commanded by those sent by Christ in their preaching. You take Peter, for example, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That was what was stated in verses 36 through 38 after the question was asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them to be baptized. And we see in verse 41 that 3,000 people who gladly received His word were baptized. We see in Acts chapter 8 that it was preached by Philip as he was preaching Jesus that he preached baptism. He preached Jesus in Samaria and the people responded in faith and were baptized. He preached to the Ethiopian later on in that chapter who immediately requested to be baptized. It was preached to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. We see that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit made it clear to Peter and the others that God was no respecter of persons. And so Peter commanded that Cornelius and his household be baptized. Ananias, in his words to Saul of Tarsus, who would later be called Paul, in Acts 22 and verse 16. Saul had been praying and fasting for 3 days. Since the Lord had appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And yet despite faith and repentance, he was still in his sins until he was baptized, which he was commanded by Ananias to wash away his sins. Now, can we preach like the apostles without commanding people to be baptized? Baptism, according to the scripture, is clearly a vital or essential part of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore fulfilling the Great Commission. To appreciate why, let's consider what is revealed about baptism in the scriptures. Baptism is the avenue in which we receive wonderful blessings, one of which is the forgiveness of sins. Paul writes in Ephesians 1 and verse 7 that it's for the forgiveness of sins is made possible through the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness of sins, and we cannot earn or merit our salvation in any way. And that forgiveness is promised by those who repent and are baptized. That's what Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38. That's what Saul was told by Ananias in Acts 22 and verse 16. And yet those who respond in baptism are assured by Christ and his Father that their sins will be forgiven. In some way, it is at baptism that we receive forgiveness through Jesus' blood. Baptism is tightly connected with forgiveness of sins in the Scriptures. The gift of the Holy Spirit is another one of those wonderful blessings. There is the promise of the Spirit that Jesus promised in John 7, verses 37 through 39. Peter promised it in Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. It was promised by Jesus to all those who would believe, and it was promised by Peter to those who would repent and are baptized. Now, baptism involves the working of the Holy Spirit, according to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 and Titus 3 and verse 5. And we are made to drink of the Spirit, Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 12. And we experience a washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit in Titus 3. That's through baptism that we benefit from the Spirit's aid in sanctification. A third of these wonderful blessings that we receive from baptism, by being baptized, is a union with Christ. A union with Christ is necessary for spiritual life, John 15, verses 4 and 5. We cannot bear fruit unless we abide, live in Christ. And without Christ, we can do nothing. So it's in baptism that we are united with Christ, as Paul would write in Romans 6 and again in Galatians 3. We're buried with him through baptism into his death, and we put on Christ in baptism. So baptism is the means by which we receive Jesus through faith. A fourth blessing is the newness of life. In Romans 6, verses 3 through 7, Paul writes about this newness of life as being the result of dying to sin and being raised with Christ. As we die with Christ in baptism, we put to death that old man, and then we come forth from the watery grave, we rise to walk in newness of life. It's in baptism that we are buried with Christ and then made alive together with Christ, Colossians 2. Verses 12 and 13. Buried and raised with Christ is through faith in the working of God. It is God who makes us alive, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Baptism is not a work of man, but rather it is a work of God to which we must submit. And finally, another wonderful blessing is salvation that we receive through baptism. Peter would write in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 that baptism does now save us. Many say baptism doesn't save us. So how do they reckon what Peter says here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 where he says baptism does save us? Well, the question needs to be asked, how does baptism save us? Well, notice 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. It's not through any cleansing of the flesh, as though the water itself has some miraculous cleansing power. There's nothing in the water. But rather, it is an appeal for a clear conscience that's made possible by the blood of Christ. You see, baptism is the sinner's appeal to God for forgiveness. And it's the answer that God graciously gives us to where our sins are forgiven. Now, you may disagree with me. And you may ask the question, why should we believe in baptism? Well, as we've already pointed out, it's because it is commanded by Jesus and his apostles. Secondly, it is the avenue that we receive these wonderful blessings. But baptism was integral, it was vital, it was important to the preaching of the gospel beginning in the first century through today. George Beasley Murray states that in an apostolic sermon, it comes as its logical conclusion. He goes on to say, an effort ought to be made to restore this note in our preaching today. So it was in the first gospel sermon preached after the resurrection of Christ. Peter says there in Acts 2 in verse 36 through 38, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The question is, have you been baptized, immersed, not sprinkled, not poured, and have you done so for the remission of your sins? Or were you baptized after you were saved? As some of my religious friends and neighbors would say. If you haven't been baptized in the manner, in the teaching, in the examples that we read in the New Testament, then listen to the words of Ananias as he spoke to Saul of Tarsus when he came into the room and spoke to him. And Paul recounts this in Acts 22 and verse 16. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, right there it is. That's what a lot of my religious neighbors want to do. They want to leave off the first two statements there and just say that all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. That's not what the whole text says. There was some urgency in Saul being baptized. Arise and be baptized. What are you waiting for, Saul? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You're not saved until you have been baptized, is what this passage teaches. A lot of my denominational friends get it reversed. They say they are saved and then baptized at a later date. If we contradict the scriptures, if we contradict what Christ stated and what's recorded as his inspired word and the inspired words of the apostles, and we're not baptized according to what is stated by the very Son of God, then we're wrong and we are in sin. You may not agree with this lesson, and I'm sure that some of you don't. If you'd like to follow up with me, I'd be glad to discuss with you this very lesson or other lessons. Like I say in the past, bring your Bible and give me book, chapter, and verse for why you think I'm wrong. You can look me up on Facebook. I'll give you my email address. It's djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. I would be glad to discuss this or any other lesson with you. We'd be glad to have you join us this morning at the Eastside Congregation. We'll meet at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, and again this evening at 5 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. at the building. Again, my email address is djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Please feel free to contact me if you'd like to discuss this lesson or any others. Thank you very much.